It would be superfluous for me to say that I'm happy to be here this morning, because at my age, I'm happy to be anywhere in the world, okay? But it is a joy to be here with Pastor Choi and his dear wife, and I've heard so much about Hillcrest Baptist Church, and from the very beginning, and of course, we hear about it up at the school and so forth, and it's just a joy to be here with you. And sometimes I get tired listening to people tell how many things I've done. So now I'm worn out before I start preaching, okay? But anyway, it is a blessing to be here, and thank God for what he's doing right here. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 19, and you follow me in your Bible or your iPad or your iPod or your iPhone or whatever you use, okay? And want us to notice about a part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus teaching his disciples. By the way, look, before we start reading there, look back over to chapter 5. The Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." And if you have a red letter Bible, the rest of that chapter is in red letter, because it's Jesus telling his disciples something. And we'll notice that something in a few minutes, okay? So look at verse 19. "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Very insightful. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon is materialistic things, money and so forth, okay? "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for the remnant? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father," think about this, "your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity just to open the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God, the Bible. And Lord, you have said, when my word goes forth, it shall not return to me void. So this is what you've laid on my heart for these dear people this morning. Now, Lord, I'm totally dependent upon you. Without you, I can do absolutely nothing. I know that. So I pray you would anoint my mind that I could think right, my tongue that I could speak right, my heart that I would be right. Anoint the hearts of the ear and the hearts and the ears of the people here today and help them to be obedient to what you say to them. We thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for what you're doing here. And dear Lord, whatever you do today or any time in our lives, we'll be more than happy to bend our knees, bow our heads, and give you all the glory and the praise, because it is unto you that the honor goes. And we pray this in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching his disciples. Now remember that Jesus was a man, but he was also God. The Bible says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. By the way, not a God, amen, but God, the only true and living God. And verse 14 of that chapter says, and the Word became flesh. God became flesh. When he was born in Bethlehem, it was God coming to the earth in the form of a man. Now, since he was God, he knew everything. And he knew that in a short time, and he was not going to be on this earth very long, and he knew that one day they were going to take him and they were going to crucify him. They were going to put a crown of thorns on his head. They were going to do all those things to him. They were going to bury him in a tomb. But thank God he also knew that he's going to be resurrected from the grave. So he's not a dead Savior. He's a living Savior. Amen. And by the way, he knew that after he was crucified and buried and resurrected from the grave, that he was going to meet with his disciples time after time. And he was going to say to them things like this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Wow, what a command. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses in me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. By the way, that was his last words before he ascended up into heaven. And by the way, he knew what those disciples would think. Now, remember, in this generation, he would be talking to you and to me. Every saved person is a disciple of the Lord. Okay, so that means he's talking to me. He's talking to you when he gives this command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he knew that they'd begin to think, wait a minute, if I get all involved in this, if I get too involved in this, how am I going to eat? How am I going to feed my family? How am I going to educate my children? All of these things. He knew they were going to worry about all those things. And so he is teaching them how to think about money and materialistic things. Now, if I have a title for my message this morning, it would simply be this: Investing in Eternity. Investing in Eternity. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Now, I want you to notice three things, three great lessons that he's teaching us in this portion that we've read today. Now look at verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air. Now don't ever make fun of bird watchers, okay? Now Jesus said, do it. Look at the birds. By the way, have you ever seen a bird worrying? I mean, I've been in places where snow would be 2 or 3 feet deep. Ice, snow. And a bird would light up on a wire or on a branch of a tree and just sit there and chirp, 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 just sing up a storm. And you know, you'd want to say, hey, dummy, you better worry about like the rest of us. Where are you ever going to get a worm from that, okay? But somehow, even though many of us have bird brains, we've never been able to get into that bird's brain and teach him how to worry. So here's what Jesus said. Behold, the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they spin, neither do they get in the barn. Now here's a great statement. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. I want you to notice the term. Your heavenly Father. So think about it this morning. Your position. Your position. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a heavenly Father. I was born the first time, May the 30th, 1933, in Nortonville, Kentucky, a mining town. My dad was a coal miner. And I was born into abject poverty. I mean, you know, no radio, no television, no electricity, no automobile, you know. How did you live? I don't know. We did, okay? I was born into abject poverty. But October of 1949, I went to a Youth for Christ meeting. And that night, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I was born into a great family of all of the riches of the world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen. In other words, everything in the universe belongs to my Father. And guess what? I'm a joint heir with his son, Jesus. Think about your position. A child of God. Now, by the way, the false doctrine of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man is not a biblical doctrine, okay? All the people of the world are not children of God. They were all created by God, but in order to become a child of God, we have to be born again. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So how do we become a child of God? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Brother Sisko, I don't know that I'm a child of God. I don't know that I'm saved and going to heaven. How do I become a child of God? The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. Wages is what I deserve. I worked for it. I earned it. Okay? The wages of sin is death. And every once in a while, I meet some dummy that says to me, all I want is what I deserve. No, you don't. If I got what I deserved, I would die and spend eternity in hell. You don't want that, amen. The wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. But there's a wonderful conjunction there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is not something you work for. It's not something you pay for. A gift is something you receive. In other words, that Saturday night, 1949, Nortonville, Kentucky, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That night, I became a child of God. And this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, at the end of the service, we'll have what we call an invitation. And people will be asked to come forward and make decisions for the Lord. And if you would do that, somebody could take the Bible today and show you from God's Word how you could know for sure you're saved and going to heaven. In John chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says of Jesus Christ, he came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, that's all they did, received him, to them gave he the power to become the child or the sons of God, or the children of God. Are you a child of God? You have a heavenly Father. Then he said, then don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't be so concerned about what you're going to wear. Don't be concerned about all these things, okay? Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Look over in verse 31 again. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we clothe? For after all these things do the heathen seek. In other words, people that don't know God, they worry about all those things. But think about it. When God speaks to your heart about something, all you have to know is, God wants me to do this. Okay? And then God will take care of you. You don't have to worry about all the other things. I have two children, a son and a daughter. A daughter and a son, actually. The daughter came first. And by the way, I'm not scriptural. The Bible says multiply and replenish the earth. And all we did was replace ourselves, okay? When my son was a little boy, he was short, okay? And shorter than most kids in his class. But about the fifth grade, he started growing. And man, fifth, sixth, seventh grade, it's like you put fertilizer in his shoes. And every time you bought some shoes, they'd be too little and little. Trousers would be too short. And I mean, he could eat like a horse as a kid. But you know, I never one time found Tim worrying. Never heard him say, wonder if I'll ever get any more trousers. Wonder if I'll ever get any more shoes. Wonder if I'll ever get anything else to eat. Never heard him worrying one time like that. And you could say to him, Tim, don't you know trousers are expensive, shoes are expensive, shoes are expensive, food's expensive. You know what he'd say? That's not my problem. That's my dad's problem. And guess what? Best he could, his dad took care of it. You have a heavenly Father. Tim sent me a Father's Day card one time. Said to my dear dad, who would give me his last dollar? From your son, who would take it, okay? By the way, at one time, Tim had three kids in college at the same time. That was his problem, maybe. So it comes around and goes around. God's called me to be a preacher. God's called me to be a missionary. God wants me to be a soul winner. God wants me to be a prayer warrior. God wants me to give this or that. If God wants you to do it, that's all you have to know. He said he wants you to do it. And then rest assured, he will take care of you. He's your heavenly Father. You're his child. What a wonderful relationship. By the way, if you don't have that relationship, be sure you settle that today, okay? So the position. Notice the second thing is our priorities. Jesus is teaching us about priorities. Look at verse 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust are corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And in that, Jesus is saying, hey, get your priorities right. You think about it. Anything that I call mine, my clothes, my automobile, my house, my bank account, whatever materialistic thing that I call mine. anything in the world bad can happen to it. I mean, you buy clothes, first thing you know, they've shrunk. Well, maybe not, okay. Or they begin to wear out. You buy a house, there's always something to do to it and so forth. Whatever you have, some thief can steal it. By the way, they don't have to break into your house now. All they have to do is get your identity. They can steal you blind. So don't be overly concerned about earthly, temporal things. That's what he's saying. Don't be overly concerned about earthly, temporal things. I used to hear a quartet sing a song. It went like this. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land, in the shades of the tree of life, that it may ever stand. Where I can just hear the angels sing and shake Jesus' hand. Lord, just build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. And I knew all the men in that quartet. And every one of them lived in nice houses. And I thought, how dumb. Here on this earth, they want to live in the best house they can, but in heaven, they just want a cabin. By the way, my idea of camping out is a Holiday Inn, amen? If we're not careful, though, we'll get so concerned about things that we fail to invest in eternity. So get your priorities right. Don't be overly concerned about earthly temporal things, but be heavily invested in spiritual eternal things. By the way, that's people, the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. Get heavily invested in heavenly things. Why? But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust is corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Thank God. We have an inheritance that is absolutely positive that we're going to get it. Think about it tonight. Only one life to live. It will soon be passed. You say, yeah, Brother Sis, for you it is soon, amen? And that's okay. By the way, maybe soon to you. It could be today for any of us. One life to live will soon be passed. Now think about it. And it's only what's done for Christ that will last. When you're reading your Bible, when you're praying, when you're passing out gospel pamphlets, when you're knocking on doors trying to get people saved, when you're giving to the work of God, you know what you're doing? You're laying up treasures in heaven. Now, any earthly thing you have may one day be gone. By the way, when Jesus comes, none of us will take anything with us. Have you noticed? Anytime somebody dies of any wealth, somebody will invariably say, I wonder how much they left. And guess what? The answer is always the same. They left it all. They didn't take any of it with them. Brother Roloff used to say, did you ever see a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse? One life to live is only what's done for Christ. But man, if we're not very careful, we'll get so consumed with earthly temporal things that we fail to do those things that will last for eternity. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, he's saying to Don says, he's saying to you and you and you, you have a heavenly Father. All you have to do is just find out what he wants you to do and then do it. And then he said, now, with that in mind, get your priorities right, okay? Get your priorities right. So he talks about our position, He talks about our priorities. And then look at verse 33. Rather than worrying about food and remnant, all those things and so forth, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. Think about it, these things. What things? What you need to wear, what you need to eat, where you need to live. All these things shall be added unto you. That's a great promise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Now I'm going to give you a paraphrase of that verse. You say, I don't like paraphrases. I don't either, but it's a Don Sis paraphrase, okay? But you listen to it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here's the paraphrase. You take care of my business, and I will take care of you. You know what he's saying? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You take care of my business, and I will take care of you. Many years ago, probably 15, 20 years ago, I'm not sure when, was it several years ago, I was in Prattville, Alabama. And the pastor and I were visiting a home, and we got into a situation that took a long time. And we didn't get to the restaurant until about 1:30. Nobody hardly in the restaurant, nobody in front of us. It's one of those steakhouses where you get your tray and your utensils, then you give your order, and then, of course, you pay for your meal and so forth. And we were standing there at the count, at the cash register, and a young man came in the front door. When he came in, he could see us. And as soon as he saw me, he got all excited. He began to say, I know you, I know you, I know who you are. And I was thinking, why in the world is he so excited about knowing who I am? He said, I know who you are. You're Sam Walton. And I said to Brother Parks, you know, I can't go anywhere anymore without somebody recognizing me. And he thought he had met the richest man in the world. Then I said to him, I said, son, I'm not Sam Walton. I'm a Baptist preacher. And it was like letting air out of a balloon. You're talking about deflated, you know. He thought he'd met the richest man in the world. Then he realized he's just another Baptist preacher. And in Alabama, Baptist preachers are a dime a dozen, okay. I read two biographies of Sam Walton. Virginia and I were going to Arkansas one time. I got to thinking, where we were going wasn't far from Bentonville, where he lived. I got to thinking, I said, wouldn't it be something if I'd go down to Bentonville and I'd go to that restaurant where Sam Walton eats breakfast every morning, and he would come in there while I was there and somebody would introduce us. And Sam and I would become good friends. You know, maybe two or three mornings in a row, we'd get there to breakfast and we'd meet. Wouldn't it be bad to have a friend like that, amen? Then one day we'd be eating breakfast. And Sam would say to me, hey, Don, tell you what. Let you and I pool our resources. You put all your resources in the pool, and I put all mine in the pool. By the way, at that time, he controlled $25 billion. On a good day, I could come up with $25, okay? But he said, let's pool our resources. You put all your money in the pool, I'll put all my money in. After that, whatever either of us need, we can take out of that pool. Now let me ask you, would that be a good bargain or not? And, you know, after, I'd be very kind to him. I'd say, now, Sam, it's our money. It's okay. Spend whatever you need. They say, by the way, Don, same with you. It's our money. Spend whatever you need. That would have been an unbelievably great deal for me. But I have a better deal than that. It's not Sam Walton that controlled $25 billion. This morning is dead and does not control one penny. Okay? But it's the sovereign God of the universe that says to me, hey, Don, if you'll take care of my business, I'll take care of you. See, that's a conditional promise. If you take care of my business, I will take care of you. Could I remind you? You're not here and I'm not here just to take care of ourselves. We who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he has left us here to take care of his business. Now, I hope you're doing a good job of it. As a young man, I determined, I don't have to take care of Don's yet. All I have to do is go where God wants me to go, to do what God wants me to do, to give what God wants me to give. I was preaching in Indianapolis, Indiana years ago. And a fellow said to me, Brother Sisk, if I gave to missions the way I feel God's talking to me about giving to missions, my family would starve to death. I thought for a minute. I said, okay, go ahead and do it. We need some martyrs in America, amen? Hey, by the way, nobody ever starved to death doing what God wanted them to do. You say, how do you know that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you.